And we find in the beginning of the Megillah that Ahasuerus throws a party of 7 days for the people in Shushan. Am Yisrael was invited, as we said. And then the Megillah describes some detail of the party, of exactly what was there. Party planners would enjoy to see such detail in the party of Ahasuerus mentioned in the Megillah. Hur, the Pasuk says, he made canopies. It was an outdoor party. He made it from the finest materials. Hur was white. Karpas was fine cotton. Techelet, blue wool. These canopies that came in all different colors. Ahuz, they were held down. How did he hold down the canopies? Behable boots ve'argaman. With havalim, with ropes. The ropes themselves were made of fine linen. Argaman. Purple, beautiful colors. Al gelil chesef ve'amud eshesh. Which means that what held down the canopies, they tied that. What was the ropes tying the canopies down to? They were pillars, amud eshesh, pillars made of marble. These are amud eshesh. They had gelile kesef. These marble amudim pillars were on top of gelile kesef of silver. More. Mitot zaha b'chesef. Beds, couches made of gold and silver. Gemara z'machloket. Some say it was gold and silver. Different kinds. Some gold, some silver. Some say no. They were both in one bed. There was gold on the legs and the silver on top. Where were all these pillars, all these couches and beds? Where were they? On what? They were on Risefat, on the floor. What was the floor made out of? The flooring of the party was very special. It was made from Bahat Vashesh. Bahat is green marble. Shesh is white marble. Vedar is shell marble, and Soharet is onyx marble. Onyx, that black, beautiful color. The floors were made of the most precious material. Just to give you an idea of what's going on there, this was top of the line goods. The canopies were made from the finest materials, beautiful colors. Even the ropes that tied them down were made from beautiful things. The pillars that they were holding up, the canopies, the bottom of the pillars were made from silver. The beds were made from gold and silver. The flooring was made from precious stones. It was unbelievable. This is a grand party. You have to imagine, Ahasuerus is a very capable person, very, very super, super wealthy. And he wanted everybody to know it. Seems that the Megillah is going to this great detail to give us some important lesson. Why do we need to know about Ahasuerus's party planner, what exactly they planned and how they made the party? But it seems there is an important message here, giving you every detail. He didn't leave out one detail, Ahasuerus, to make sure it was on the top of the line. And more. That was just an example of the furnishings. But then the next pasuk talks about of how he treated his guests. Ve'hashkot b'chle zahav. When it came to give them to drinks, they were passing around drinks. What kind of cups did they use in a Ahasuerus's party? Did they use disposable cups? No. Did they use glass cups? No. They used bechle zahav. The cups that people drank with were made of gold. Imagine gold, real gold cups, not gold plated. Golden cups. Vechelim mikelim shonim. There's a few different explanations. What does that mean? Vechelim and the vessels. Mikelim shonim. They were different from other vessels. What does that mean? Rashi explains it means that not one cup was the same. They didn't make a production of the same cup. They made, you know, a person who makes a party usually likes to make one style of each item. But Ahasuerus was so wealthy, he made for each person his own cup. His own party. Just like he gave each person his own ability to choose what he wants to eat, how he wants to enjoy. Each one got a unique cup, special just for him. That's how Rashi explains, V'chelim mikelim shonim. Each one got a special cup. Others explain that V'chelim mikelim shonim means something else. It means that they never use the same cup again. The kelim mikelim shonim, which means they're always being changed. A guy used the cup, they don't wash it and reuse it. You finish one cup, they give you another one. Take that one home. That's your souvenir. So if you drink a lot in a Hajj party, not only do you get drunk, but you also get a lot of cups. They give you a cup, you finish it, they give you another cup. Tremendous display of wealth and wanting to make his guests happy. Ve'yen malchut. And the wine that was served was not regular wine. It was wine that they served by malchut, by royalty. Royalty has a different menu of how they eat and how they drink. So there's a certain kind of wine that royalty drinks, high-level wine. Yen malchut rav. Plenty. Keyad ha-melech. I mean, they gave a lot of choices of the best wines. Just like a king chooses which one he wants. Each one was able to choose the wine that he likes. And he's choosing from the best wines. That's the way he treated his guests. Again, the furnishings were beautiful. The cups, the wine. Next pasuk, more information. Ve'hashetiya kadat en ones. Which means that drinking was done according to the person's desire. En ones. There was no one pushing anybody.
What does that mean? There's no one pushing anybody.
I mean, sometimes, you know, you have a restaurant. People are sitting at a table. There are people waiting for the table. And they're waiting for them. And they're waiting and they're waiting. At some point, they tell them, listen, you got to leave the table. People are coming. They're waiting to eat. Guy's waiting at the bar to get drinks. He's waiting, waiting. He's sitting there drinking, drinking. Move on. We have to get more people here. Party of thousands and thousands of people. You may run out of cups. You may tell a person, let's go, finish up. So we need the plate. We need your spot. No. En ones means that there was given special instructions from a hashem. Like it says, kichen Yisad HaMelech al kol Rav Beto. This was special instructions from the king himself. This was not a party planner deciding what should be done. This was special instructions from the king. It mattered. These things mattered very much to the king. He wanted to make sure that nobody would be pushed in a way that makes them uncomfortable. They want to sit here all day, they can sit here. They want to drink in this spot all day, they can. And honest, there's nobody pushing anybody to do anything that would make him uncomfortable. Kichen Yisad HaMelech. That's what the king wanted. Why did he want all this? Why was it so important to him? So simply, he just wanted to show off how wealthy he was. But the Megillah says more than that. Kichen Yisad HaMelech al kol rav veto means all the people in charge. The king gathered them together and he made a meeting how this party is going to run. Just imagine, Ahasuerus sitting on his throne. He gathers all the heads, the head of the kitchen staff, the head of the wines, the head of the waiters, the head of everything. He gathered them all together, and Ahasuerus himself is giving them instructions for the party. What was the gist of the words? What was the message that Ahasuerus wanted to give all these people when he met them about how to run the party? Listen to these words. La'asot kirtzon ish ba'ish. The goal of this party is that every single person that comes to this party is going to walk out with ratzon. What's ratzon? Ratzon means satisfied. I want every person, Ahasuerus tells his people, I want every person that comes out of this party to say, that was a great party, no complaints. Everything I imagined, everything I wanted, I got. Not one person should walk out of here with a complaint. La'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. That's very unusual. You know, no matter what you do in life, there's always someone that's not going to like something. People love the flowers, but I didn't love the wine tonight. Some people, I loved the wine, I didn't love the chicken. I didn't love the meat. It wasn't so tender. It wasn't so well done. I mean, everybody has usually something to say. To make a party where you invite thousands of people, where everybody walks out satisfied, is something unimaginable. And I saw a beautiful midrash on this. The midrash says on this pasuk, Amar lo hakadosh baruch hu le'ahasuerus. Hashem, I guess after that meeting that he had with all those top commanders of the party, Hashem tells Ahasuerus, Ani eni yotze mide b'riyotai. I myself can't make everyone happy. I'm the creator of the world. I created every person. And even I cannot walk away saying that each person is satisfied. Ve'ata mevakesh la'asot kirtzon ish ba'ish. And you're trying to make every person satisfied? Continues the Midrash and says, Benoheg shebaolam, the normal custom in this world, Shene bene adam mevakshim lisa isha ahat, two people want to marry the same woman, Yecholah hi le'inase l'shnehem, can she marry both? No. One guy is going to walk away disappointed. You can't satisfy every person. There's only one of that woman to marry. So if more than one person wants to marry her, you're going to have someone not satisfied. V'chen, shte sefinot she'ayu olot, which means you have two ships that were going. Ahat mevakeshet ruach tzvonit, one wants to go north and one wants to go south. Is it possible? That the ruach will be able, there's one wind is blowing, the Midrash saying one wind is blowing one ship to the north. There's a wind that blows ships to the south. But on the same day, can the same wind blow to the north and the south? Not possible. If there's a northern wind pulling the ship, it's going north. If it's south, it's going south. The same wind can blow at the same time, both ends out.
Lemahar, says the Midrash, Hashem tells Ahasuerus, you'll see soon. Shne b'nei Adam ba'im lefanecha badin. I don't know if literally Hashem spoke to Ahasuerus. I don't know if that means that. It just means that Hashem was commenting on what's going on. Hashem shares with us his comments when he sees things. He says, you'll see you're going to have two people that's going to come in front of you. They're not going to be the same mindset. Ish Yehudi ve'ish sar ve'oyev. You're going to have two people, very important people.
Yachol ata latzet yedei shneihem. Are you going to be able to satisfy both of them? They come from two different worlds.
That's what the Midrash says. On the pasuk, la'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. It seems Hashem was very interested, very intrigued by this desire of Ahasuerus, that he wants every person to be happy with him. Hashem tells him, it's not possible. You can't live your life that way. You cannot live your life. Every one of us has to remember this. You cannot live your life with such an attitude of la'asot kirson ish va'ish. You cannot live your life where your goal is to make everybody happy and satisfied with you. Unfortunately, a lot of people live life that way, where their goal in life is to make as many people excited about them as possible, to get everybody to look at them in a certain way of satisfaction and honor. Many, many people live life that way. La'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. They want as many people as possible to bow to them, either physically or mentally or emotionally. They spend their whole life looking for the respect of ish va'ish, that when people should see that person or talk about that person, they will talk about that person in the most beautiful way. That everyone should agree, pe'ehad, one voice, saying, yes, this person, Yosef, what a person. Not one person has a complaint about him. Not one person has a bad thing to say about him. Everyone looks at him and says, wow, Abraham, what a guy. The Midrash is saying it's not possible. This mindset can never succeed. It's just not the way the world runs. It's not possible to get every person to respect you. You're going to have to choose a side. What does that mean, choose a side? It means you're going to have to choose what's right for you. You have to do what's important for you. Find out what's important in life. Find out what's good in life. And you make your decisions in life based on you. You know how many people this would have saved if they took this Midrash to heart? You know how many people suffer in this world because their whole life they're measuring their success in la'asot retzon ish va'ish. I want everybody to like me. I want everyone to look at me in a certain way. And their whole life, they're eating a certain way. They're drinking a certain way. They're vacationing a certain way. They're living a certain way. The decisions are made. Basically, la'asot retzon ish va'ish. I want people to like me. I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to think I'm special. It's not possible. It's not possible for everyone to like you, no matter what you do in life. Unless you sit somewhere and nobody sees you, and even then you may find enemies. But in life, you can't get everyone to be satisfied with you. It's just not possible. There's a Haman and there's a Mordechai. It's not possible for both of them to appreciate you because they have totally different values. The value of Haman is the opposite of Mordechai. What Haman thinks is awesome, Mordechai thinks the opposite. And what Mordechai thinks is awesome, Haman thinks the opposite. So how are you supposed to live your life? Kirtzon ish va'ish. You do A, love this guy loves you, the other guy doesn't like you. You do B, he likes you, the other guy doesn't like you. This midrash is so powerful. It's telling you and I that there is no way to live life and succeed when your life decisions are based on other people respecting you. It's not possible. No way that you're going to find everybody agreeing that you're doing something great in life. It's not possible. Once you know, and you'll tell me, so why is that valuable to know it's impossible? Why is it valuable to know that it's impossible to satisfy everyone? It's very important to know that. Because once you know that, so now what do? You start making a decision for yourself. You start doing what's right. You start doing what you know is good. There'll be people that don't like it, but then there'll be people that like it. You're never going to have everybody. If it's possible to have everybody liking you, so maybe it's worth it to spend your whole life getting people to like you. Because then you'll get a consensus. Everyone, at least in your mind, it'll be worthwhile. I'll spend my life where everyone will love me. But once I know that it's not possible to have everyone to love me, it's not possible. It's not possible that everyone agree with what I'm doing. It's not possible. It's not possible. Forget about that. Once it's not possible, so then all of a sudden I go back to myself and say, well, what's the right thing to do? What's the right way to live? And then it won't be bothersome to you when some people don't like. And then it won't be bothersome to you when some people don't like what you do. It won't bother you. Because no matter what you do, there'll be people that don't like what they do. Don't imagine like Ahasuerus. If Ahasuerus imagined that it's possible to have everyone like you, I guess humans have that imagination. It's possible for a person to imagine, I want everyone to be satisfied with me. You could have such a mindset and live your life accordingly. But once you know that's not possible, you have 100 people in your life, you can't get all 100 to love you. You can't. Love you means they're not always going to agree with you and they're not always going to respect what you do. If you have 200 people in your life, it's not possible to have everyone agree with you. If you have 50 people in your life, it's not possible to get everyone to always like what you do. It's not possible. There is an Ahasuerus in us that maybe thinks it is possible to get all the people around me, whether it's 20, 30, 50, 100, whatever it is, that they all will agree. Like Am Yisrael said, Naaseh v'nishma, they will all agree also that you are that special person that you desire to be in their eyes. Not possible. What a beautiful message. Hashem tells Ahasuerus, La'asot kirtzon ish va'ish? You really have such dreams in your life? Not possible. And once it's not possible, that's what the Midrash started. Midrash gave two examples. Can two guys marry the same woman? No. Can the same wind go opposite directions? No. So there's Haman, there's Mordechai. You got to choose one. Whichever one you choose, the other one's not going to like it. So you might as well choose the right one. You might as well just live your life the right way. Because even when you do the wrong thing, there'll be someone who doesn't like it. So don't get startled when you do the right thing that someone doesn't like it. Just choose your way. There's no point in trying to get others to like you. Who is this applied to, this principle? It applies to young people who have a lot of peer pressure and feel they have to do things to fit in with people so that they don't look like they're outside the camp. Their decisions are therefore warped because of that. They don't do what they know is good and what they know is right because they can't, because they know if I do A, oh, that guy is not going to be so happy with me, so I can't do it. And they go about their decision-making that way because they're trying to get everybody to like them, and they end up in a very bad place because they thought like Ahasuerosh, La'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. Teenagers have this issue. Older people have this issue. Whenever a person is looking to do something in their life of value, usually there are people that are not going to like it. That's just the way it is. When you do something, people will not like it. And for many people, that's so scary that they don't even go and try. But now you have to remember this pasuk. La'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. There's no satisfying everybody anyway. So what are you wasting your time? He's saying good. He's saying, what do you mean? I have people that I want to satisfy, and they're all in the same mindset. It's true. And that's why when you make that decision, you're thinking about those people. But that doesn't mean that simultaneously you have other people in your life that are also important to you that don't really like what you're doing. But you're not thinking about them right this second because you're scared to lose these guys. You're so scared to lose these guys that you end up just doing what you think they'll make them happy. And then you'll pick up the pieces later from the other guys. But that's what you spend your whole life doing. It's a beauty, this midrash. La'asot kirson ish va'ish is not possible. Not just for young people, not just for simple people, for rabbis. It's not possible for a rabbi to make everyone happy. It's can't. No matter what you do, you're going to have people who don't agree, who don't like it. Now, should you do your best to make everyone be happy with you? Of course. Of course. A person should always do his best to make everybody satisfied with him. That should be a goal as well. But that can't be the goal. There has to be a real goal of emet, of what's the right thing to do. And then, after you know what's right, now you try to make as many people as possible satisfied the way you say it, the way you bring it up, the way you deal with them. You know, you could do the right thing in different ways. You could do the right thing and be very, very difficult in the way you approach it. You could be very soft. You could be sensitive to people. So even though you're saying the right thing, but you say it in a sensitive way, you could say it in a rough way. There's ways to give over the emet, whether you're teaching or you're instituting something in a shul or whatever it is. There's a way to do something which is right. You could do it in the wrong way, or you could do it in the right way. You want to come in and speak about something that the community needs to hear. So you get up and you speak about it. It's the right thing. They need to hear about it. But you could say it the wrong way. So even though you're saying the right message, and someone will say, I can't believe you spoke about that. He says, what do you mean? Don't you think it's important? Don't you think they have to know about this? Yeah, of course they have to know about it. But the way you said it, it was not the right way because people got turned off. So you should give the message, the same message, but you got to be a little more sensitive. Figure out a way to say it in a way that's sensitive. That's important. You can't just say, I'm saying the right thing. It doesn't matter. That's not true. You have the right thing. That's number one. That's the first step, first order of business. Say the right thing. Do the right thing. Whatever the right thing is. After you know the right thing, now you have to say, okay, how do I get kirson ish va'ish? How do I make everybody here satisfied and understand why they need to hear and understand this? How do I make them walk out feeling, I hear what the rabbi is saying, it makes sense? Yes, if la'asot kirson ish va'ish comes after I know what I need to do, I know the right thing, now let me see how many people I can get to be with me. That's fine. That's the obligation. You can't just get up there and say things and have people walk out upset and you're like, what did I do? I said the right thing. No. But la'asot kirtzon ish va'ish cannot be the motivation of what you say. The motivation has to be what's right to say. How you say it, you have to do it in the best way possible. But you have to realize that there will be people that even that you do the right thing and you say it in the most sensitive way and you're just perfect, there still will be people that are not satisfied. There'll be people that walk out and maybe not so happy. There is still going to be that. But that can't deter you from doing the right thing. Because la'asot kirson ish ba'ish is not a possibility. It's a goal. After you do the right thing, it's a goal to get as many people as possible. But don't be deterred from doing the right thing, whether you're young or old, whether you're a layman or a rabbi. You don't stop doing the right thing because there will be some people that no matter what you do and no matter how you do it, they're not going to be happy. We said that's a beautiful midrash. Remember, don't break down because people are not so happy with a certain thing that you're doing. So long as you took the right steps and did it the right way, you did the right thing in the right way, that's all you can do in life. Do the right thing in the right way. You cannot measure your success based on people's ratzon. Because people's ratzon is like the wind. One may be going north, one may be going south, and maybe it's not possible to please both of them. You do your best, but you can't measure your success with people's reaction. What a beautiful message that Hashem is giving us through this Megillah. Don't be a la'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. Perhaps to address Ezra's question, I'm just thinking now, it says la'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. Why didn't it say la'asot retzon kulan? To do the will of everybody. What's ish va'ish? It's like I was telling him before, in life, wherever you are right now, that's the ish that you want to satisfy. If I'm with you right now, the overwhelming priority for me is that you should be happy with me right now. What about the other people who are not here right this second that are also important to me? Okay. I'm not thinking about them right now. Ish va'ish, you go from one ish to another ish. As you gain one ish, you lose one ish. You get the other ish, you lose another ish. The ish va'ish syndrome is basically wherever I am, I need to be pleasing to those people. Even though in the back of my mind, I may know there are others that won't be so happy with me. But right now, I want to get these guys. Not a life. Lirsot la kirson ish va'ish is not a life. You have to do retzon emet. You have to do what's right. And then be sensitive, and the rest is not on your shoulders. You can't be leading your life based on other people's ratzon. Beautiful. Fine. Anyway, but that's what Ahasuerus wanted. That's what Ahasuerus desired. He wanted that. Ish ve'ish should all be happy with him. He was looking for the impossible. Next pasuk says, Gam Vashti Hamalka, also Vashti the queen, Aseta Mishte Nashim, she made a party for the woman. Where did she make this party? Bet HaMalchut, in the house of the Malchut of royalty. Which house of royalty? Asher LaMelech Ahashverosh. It seems there were different compounds, maybe where she lived, but there was the center, the top of the mountain was Ahasuerus's palace. Where did she make her party? Not just in any royal palace, in the royal palace of Ahasuerus. What's going on here with Vashti? Why is she making a party? Ahasuerus, we know why he's making a party. Celebrating his kingdom. Maybe celebrating the chair. Wants to show his power. Wants people to listen to him. Wants people to love him. Why is Vashti making her own party? Why is he making her own party? So simply, a man makes a party. It's important to him. His wife also wants to make a party. It's a very important rule, by the way, in marriage. That whatever a husband wants and whatever a husband does that's important to him, normally his wife follows suit in her own way. So Ahasuerus has this attitude of let's make a party and let's show people what we have to offer them and make everybody happy with me. Guess what? His wife becomes the same way. Gam Vashti Amalka. She also wants to do that. It's amazing what a responsibility it is for a man in the house, for a husband. He's not only responsible for himself, because once he's involved or gets into something, he's dragging with him his wife with him. And then, of course, if he and his wife aren't on the same page, his children for sure are going that way. An amazing responsibility that every man should feel. That whatever you do, gam Vashti Amalka, your Malka is going to do the same thing. You're dragging her to the same place. A woman will want to do. She gets pulled like a magnet for what her husband is so excited about. That's a simple explanation. But over here, there's a deeper story going on, which is that Vashti Amalka, notice in the Megillah, sometimes she's called Amalka Vashti, and sometimes she's called Vashti Amalka. What's the difference between Vashti Malka or Malka Vashti? The difference. First of all, you should know, like we learned, that Ahasuerus himself is not royalty. He didn't have royal blood, which is, you know, we're not around royalty, so we don't understand it so well. But royal blood is like a very hashuv thing. Not just that you're a king, but you're royalty. Ahasuerus was not royalty. He was a man who made a lot of money, had a lot of power, and through that, he captured the world and became a self-proclaimed king. His family was not royalty. Obviously, when you're not royalty, you're missing something. You know, when people talk about you, you're okay. You're a king, officially, by title, but you're not really a king. Like, you're missing you're not authentic. It bothered him. Well, guess who he married? He married the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, who was royalty, the daughter of Belshazzar, royalty. So his wife, Vashti, was royalty. Now, being married to Vashti for Ahasuerus is a big win. It gives him credibility. He's not just a king, he's married to a real queen. It's like the certificate of, this is real. So Vashti was a very important part of his legitimacy as king. Again, we can't appreciate this today because we don't live around this kind of society. But in those days, that was a big deal. So who's the king? Even today, you go to England where they have a queen, they have a king. We don't even understand some of the things that they do when they have a certain awe of the queen, a certain thing, a certain protocol. It's like all things around royalty that maybe me and you don't really have any knowledge of because we're not around it. So here's Ahasuerus, an acting king, but not a real royalty. The best thing he could do for himself is be married to a queen who is real royalty, gives him credibility as royal. For sure, it gives his children credibility, at least if he's not going to have royalty, but at least it could start from his son, from his daughter. So that Vashti is a very important figure in the success of Ahasuerus as a king. But the honor of Ahasuerus didn't allow him to make it known that he needed her. In reality, he needed her. But a king doesn't want to let anyone think he needs anyone. So he would treat her, even though she gave him a lot of credibility, but he would treat her as someone like that's like it's only you're only important because of me. You see, when you say the word Malka Vashti, it means royalty whose name is Vashti. When you say Vashti Amalka, it's a person called Vashti who became a queen. That's not royalty. The way Ahasuerus wanted to portray his wife, Vashti, even though she was very important to his reality, but he wanted to give off the impression that she was Vashti Hamalka. She's not Malka Vashti. She's a queen because of me. She's only Hashuv because of me. Vashti felt this coming from Ahasuerus. She felt Gam Vashti Amalka. She felt like Vashti the Malka, not like the Malka Vashti. So she didn't appreciate that. She didn't appreciate that her husband looked at her as something less important than who she really was. So she wanted to show him that she's the queen, not him. That she's royalty, not him. So what'd she do? She also made a party. And she also invited people, important people. And where did she make the party? Not in some, in some hall somewhere in Shushan. Not somewhere in her palace. She went to the top of the mountain. She made the party where? Bet HaMalchut Asher LaMelech Ahasuerus. There was a message behind this party. The message of, I am the one that you need, Ahasuerus. I made you. You're trying to give people the impression that you made me. No, no. You're saying, and your acting is maybe the way he made his party, maybe he didn't include her. Maybe he made it sound like he didn't include her, right? It sounded like he made a party for himself. He didn't even include his wife. The message was, she's only a queen because of me. This Vashti HaMalka feeling says, no, I got to show this guy who is really important in this family. He thinks he's important. I'm the important person here. So I'm going to make a party. Where am I going to make the party? On the top of the mountain. Bet HaMalchut Asher LaMelech Ahasuerus. What happens on the seventh day of the party? Again, this is a seven-day party. It's the last day. Ketov lev ha-melech bayayin, says the Pasuk. When he was really happy. I don't know if he was drunk or whatever. He was very, very in a good place. Very happy. Ketov lev ha-melech bayayin. He was in such a state of happiness. What does he do in this peak of happiness? Amar, he went and he said to the following people, Mehuman, Bizeta, Harbona, Bichta, Abachta, Zetar, Vecharkas. Seven. Who are these seven people? Shivat Hasarisim. Ham Sharetim et Pene Amelcha Hashverosh. These are the servants of Ahashverosh. They're the guys who serve the king. Sir, you want me to shine your shoes? Sir, you want to eat something? Sir, should I take that from you? These are the servants of Ahashverosh. The seven servants of Ahashverosh, he tells them, Lehavi et Vashti Amalka Lifne Hamelech Beketel Malchut. Lehavi, bring her. Bring Vashti. Look at the words. Lehavi et Vashti Hamalka Lifne Hamelech. Bring her in front of the king Beketel Malchut. What does it mean, bring her Beketel Malchut? It means that she should come in without a crown. But when she's in front of the melech, lifnei ha-melech, when she comes in front of the king, over there, you'll put the crown on her head. Meaning, she's a queen when she's with the melech. Her crown comes because of the melech. Notice it says lehavi. It doesn't say he sent vayishlah. Like it says later on by Haman, because when somebody's far away, you have to send people to bring them. But this one, he didn't have to send, because she made the party right next to him, which was part of the miracle. Because if she didn't make the party right next to him, he's not going to send people all the way to her place to come. But the fact that she made the party here, that actually became her demise. Her destruction came because she made the party. She wanted to show him who was important. So she made the party in the same place. And now he feels good on the seventh day. He says, oh, she's right here. Go get her. Lehavi, go get her. That wouldn't have happened if she made her own thing or didn't make a party altogether. So she got called in because she wanted to be next to him and show that she's the boss. You follow? Lehavi et Vashti Amalka. Bring her in, she's right here. And who did he send? For a queen, you don't send your servants. You send a chef to go get the queen. You send the guy who mops the floor to get the queen. That's how you get the queen. If you want to call the queen, what do? You go send a sar, a minister. You send the vice president. You send important people. They were over here, they were sarim. There was royalty. There was a lot of hajuv people here. You send the janitor. These are seven janitors of Ahasuerus. You send the janitor lehavi to bring her like she's a piece of meat. Lehavi, go bring her. Bring her means don't ask if she want. Don't ask her do you want to come. Don't. It's not like that. Go and bring her. Lehavi, you bring basar. You bring yain. You bring furniture. You bring a queen? Lehavi? You're bringing a queen here? And you send the janitors to come bring her? Do you understand what the scene looks like when in her party, seven janitors come and say, Vashti, you need to come now. Not, do you want to come? Not the king would love to have you. No, Lehavi, bring her. And bring her without a crown. Take off her crown. She wears her crown lifnei hamelech when she's in front of the king only. What a power struggle. Whoa. Who is in charge here? Who is the success coming from? From Vashti? From Ahasuerus? You could imagine, Ahasuerus, I'm the money guy, I'm the power, it's me. She's a woman, I'm the royalty, what is she talking about? He has no credibility without me. There's a battle here going on. And each move is coming to strengthen the side of each one. She's making a party in his backyard. He sends the janitors to bring her. crown comes on here, not there. Look at the next pasuk. Vatema'en hamalka Vashti. Vashti says, oh no. Vatema'en, she refuses. Who refuses? Hamalka Vashti. She says, what? I'm Vashti Hamalka. I'm not coming because you asked me to come. I am Malka Vashti. Remember that, sir. I am royalty and you're not. I'm royalty before you are even king. I am Hamalka Vashti. She refused. Listen to these words. Vatema'en Hamalka Vashti lavo bidvar ha-melech asher beyad ha-sarisim. She got the message when the janitors came. Pasuk makes it clear. Why didn't she come? Lavo bidvar ha-melech. She understood what the king meant when he said, bring her and put the crown here. She said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm a queen before I get to you. And beyad ha-sarisim, you send janitors to get me? I'm Malka Vashti. You see what's going on here? This is a power struggle in the house, in the marriage. Vayiktsof ha-melech me'od. The king got very upset. What an embarrassing moment. He's trying to do kirtson ish va'ish. His own wife, he can't make her happy. Vahamato ba'aravo. And his wrath is burning, anger inside of him. Two different things, by the way. Vayiktsof ha-melech me'od. He got very angry. And then his wrath was burning in him. What are these two things? There's two things going on here. Number one, there is a clear reason for him to be angry for something that everybody saw. The fact that she didn't come. That made it to the news the next day. Newspapers were all talking about it. So he got very angry for something everyone would know why he got angry. But there was something else that he was upset about that only could be inside. He was burning inside. Something that he couldn't share with the newspapers, which is that his whole plan, you know, this is not a plan he did outwardly. He didn't go and tell people, I'm the king, she's not. He did it subtly. He did things where people would just automatically see that he's the king and she's not. So that stuff he can't be angry about, that it got all his plans were destroyed, because it's not public knowledge. Vahamato ba'arabo is burning inside that she was trying to outdo him. And from this, the miracle of Esther happened, where she got killed in the end and Esther became the queen. Now the truth is, in the Megillah, we don't really have to know about this part per se. We need to know that she got killed and Esther took over. But you know, the way of Hashem and the way of wise people as well, when they teach you something, they teach you a lot of things along the way. You're learning one subject and, oh, by the way, look at this. Oh, by the way, look at that. Hashem could have made Esther come to power in any which way. It didn't have to be this way. It's not like this. If this party didn't happen, Esther wouldn't be the queen. But Hashem saw here an opportunity to do it this way, and perhaps so we could sit here and talk about it, so we could learn something from it. We're learning something from this. We're not just learning that Esther came to power miraculously. We're learning how it happened. And in the how it happened, there's a lot of limud. There's a lot of musar here. We already learned one musar about la'asot kirson ish va'ish. By the way, look where he ended up. He wants to get everyone happy with him. On the top, the last, the top, the end, the peak, seventh day. His whole plan, his whole party is destroyed. After 7 days, he is an angry, upset person that has lost happiness in his life. Imagine the seven-day party, la'asot kirson ish va'ish. He can't, he lost it. Why? Because his own wife didn't show happiness and satisfaction with him. That's one huge musar, but it's another big musar. And this is for people who have relationships, for marriage. That's not limited to marriage. It could be also friendships, but for sure marriage. Marriage is like the ultimate friendship. And all friendships really are perhaps preparations for marriage. You know what happens in a marriage? At least in the marriage that's going to be destroyed, like this one was, where each side feels that they're the reason for the success. Look, we have a house. We have children. We have money. We have accomplishments. Every house has something to be proud about. Who is the reason behind the success? Well, in many homes, unfortunately, it's a battleground. Sometimes it's an outward battleground, and sometimes it's subtle. The battleground is the husband feels the success of this house is because of me. If I don't have the money that I bring, if we don't have the money that I work for, if we don't have the power that I protect, and all the different things that a man might feel, maybe spiritually he might say, I'm the one who brings the Torah in the home, I'm the one who learns, I'm the one who does, I'm the one who guides. Husband might walk in and say, he feels that he's the one. He's the guy that made this house successful. On the other side, there's a woman that's saying, who made this house successful? It's me. You know what I do for this house? You know what I do for his children? The atmosphere of the home? And so many things she would be able to look at and say, it's me. And by the way, they're not lying. He does a lot for the house. She does a lot for the house. Keep this in mind in a marriage. In a marriage where each one is trying to show why the success of the marriage is coming from them is a house that ends up destroyed. That's what you see in this Megillah. How did the demise and destruction of Ahasuerus' home, of his marriage, how did it take place? What was the source of it? Where each one wanted to show and felt that they were behind the success. It's they that made it work. This is a recipe for marriages, a recipe for a friendship, a havruta. It's a recipe. When two people are together and each one feels, they're partners, and each one feels that they're the one, there's not beracha. There's not a future in such a relationship. That's what happened here to Vashti and Ahasuerus. This man ended up killing his wife. That's destructive for him. He killed the certificate of his legitimacy. And he was very upset at it. After the fact. Why all that happened? Because a husband and wife, each one, wants to show that they are behind the success. What does a real house look like? You'll tell me, is there another way? Yeah, of course another way. What does a real marriage look like? The foundation is a husband looks at his wife and says to her, and feels this way, that you know the beracha that we have comes from you. But all you do comes from you. And the wife feels the same way about her husband. Do you know what kind of house that is? Do you know what kind of house that is? Do you realize how powerful that is? When two people who are partners look at each other and say, you're the one that made the success. I couldn't do this without you. This wouldn't have happened without you. Which is the truth, by the way. But it's all in the attitude. Are you looking at yourself? That it couldn't happen without me or it couldn't happen without you. This marriage was destroyed. Why? Because each one said it couldn't happen without me. A real marriage is built on It couldn't happen without you. That's a very powerful message that Hashem wanted to give us along the way, by the way, in the destruction of Vashti and the rise of Esther. Unbelievable. So here's an unbelievable, what an unbelievable Musar. La'asot kirtzon ish va'ish. Here's a man who's trying to make everyone happy. Not possible. By the way, when you try to make everyone happy, the people in your own house don't appreciate you. Just for the record. When you're a person that tries to make everyone happy, the people that are close to you, that really know you, they're not impressed with you. You know why? Because they see you're fake. They see when you come home, it's just about making people happy. You're nervous that I do this right. What are they saying? They know. That means you're trying to make everybody around you happy, but the people closest to you will lose respect for you because of that. So la'asot kirson ish va'ish, he's trying to make everyone happy. He lost respect of his own wife also. And when you lose respect for someone, you don't feel they're the one that made success and becomes a battleground of each one fighting for who's the one and bring about a tremendous disaster to a home that could have been so great if just each one realized that the other person is really very important and couldn't have had the success without them. That's how you should look at a partner. That's how you should look at a havruta. That's how a friendship should work, where each one looks at this and says, I'm so happy. It's you that makes this friendship awesome. Without you, this couldn't have happened, which is true. Where's your focus? Unbelievable yesod we see in this Megillah. Few important things that we just said. They're a little bit even connected, and they're very relevant to every person. All right, guys, have a good day. Hazak u baruch.